The old federal courthouse, a three-sided structure fronted by an arcade of fluted Corinthian columns, had been part of the original design of Center City and DuSable, the focal point of a broad plaza called Federal Square. As Jillian rushed along the granite walkways, pigeons with their shining heads barely rose into the air, giving ground to her. 2 days ago, Arthur Raven had phoned, characteristically apologetic. He and his young associate had decided that if at all possible, Jillian should be at court. They wanted her present in case it was necessary to authenticate the letter Erno Erdai had sent her, or to confirm that she had received it in late March, before any news broke about Arthur's appointment, an event which arguably might have inspired Erdai to fictionalize. It was a trifle compulsive on Arthur's part, but she had agreed to accept his subpoena with less reluctance than she might have expected. For nearly an hour, she waited across the marble hall in the narrow room reserved for witnesses, until the sudden commotion in the corridor made it evident that court had broken. 10 minutes after that, Arthur Raven arrived. He appeared earnest as ever, but there was a light about him which Jillian could not keep from envying. Arthur was triumphant. He began with apologies. Muriel had just made a great show of telling Judge Harlow that she'd been bushwhacked, demanding 24 hours to prepare for cross-examination of Erdai. "Are you saying I need to come back tomorrow?" Jillian asked. Arthur explained that Muriel had agreed that Jillian's testimony was not required. "I can't thank you enough for everything. You've been very courageous." "Hardly, Arthur." In the elevator, she asked how it had gone with Erdai. "Amazing," said Arthur. "Erno did well." "I thought so." The elevator sprang open. Behind it, Arthur showed her a passageway she'd never have found on her own, then followed her out under the street, eager to exit before any of the print reporters saw him. He said he'd agreed to give his first interviews back at his office to the two leading TV stations. Morton's was 3 blocks from the courthouse on the way to Arthur's office in the IBM building, and he walked beside her. "What did the judge make of Erno?" she asked. "Any idea?"
"I think he believed him. I almost felt like he had to."
"Had to?"
"There was just something that came into the room," Arthur reflected. "The sorrow," he said. "Erno didn't wallow. He wasn't going to ask anybody to be sorry for him because he did horrible things, but there was a sadness to every word."
"Yes, sorrow," said Jillian. She'd pulled her sunglasses from her purse, but found Arthur eyeing her.
"You didn't do what he did, you know," he said. "It was a murder."
"Well, that's something to say for myself."
"And you've paid the price."
They stood now before the doors of Morton's. The cosmetics counter was just inside.
"My post," she pointed.
"Are you enjoying this job?"
"Well, I'm happy to be working. I take it this strikes you as superficial, Arthur."
"Well, you can say it. That's the word. It's cosmetic by definition."
"I suppose you could say I don't relate. I mean, even unattractive people have instincts, but you have to come to terms with yourself."
"Oh, come on, Arthur. Attractiveness for a man after a certain age has nothing to do with what it meant as a teenager. Big success, big salary, nice car. We all know how that goes."
"There's no such thing as a bad-looking man with a fat wallet."
"That doesn't seem to work for me."
"I doubt that."
"Probably because I'm immature," he said. She laughed.
"I am," he said. I still want my fantasies."
"Which are?"
"Somebody sleek and smart. I mean, it's stupid, right? I want somebody who's everything I'm not."
Arthur half averted his face. For a second, he seemed dazzled by the sun, then added in a muted tone, "Someone like you."
"Me?"
In panic, she faced about, hoping the conversation had not taken the turn she feared. "But someone more your age." At 47, she had, by her best calculation, a decade on Arthur. Arthur laughed once.
"Oh, you do fine. I'm old enough to be your mother."
"Please."
"Your aunt."
"No will do, Jillian," he said mildly. "I'm used to it."
"Arthur," she said, Arthur, I'm a mess. No one can or should want to clean up. That's the truth. In candor, I don't say yes to anyone. That's not part of my life.
Forget it, Jillian, he said. I was just kind of illustrating the point.
Some sisterly kiss on the cheek might have been in order, but that had never been her style. Instead, she smiled in a way she hoped was a trifle less remote and said goodbye.